Praise God. Amen. It's a privilege again to be here. Going back again to those days on the campus, you know, seeing the zeal and the what goes with fellowship. We're just praying and looking to God to get a word. And there is something that is that's on my heart. Of course, the time is short. It's always good to have a vision. Scripture says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish and purposes are disappointed." So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you very much for the breath of life. For in you is the fountain of life. You are the one that waters the earth. We ask, O God, that you might bring life to our soul. Let the dryness be visited with a mighty outpouring of your life and vitality. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about warfare. That's a better name, spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is a serious business. And I think that's where you are going to, as a people, as a fellowship, in a wider context. We are there already. This morning we were looking at some videos of Islamic Europe, Islamic Britain, Islamic London. The context of darkness, and when you signal, when you give a notice that you want to be a son, there are different levels. When in the things of God, there are different levels. Just like in natural life, there are different levels. There is the toddler infant stage of give me, not much concern about the father, the business of the father. The Bible talks about children. It says your sins are forgiven. It talks about young men, young people. So you have strong, you have strength, you have strength, you are strong. And it says you have overcome the enemy. And then it talks about fathers. So there are stages. And the devil knows that very much. That in our Christian experience there are different milestones, different places to grow. So when you desire to push into the spirit, you need to have a proper understanding. Because I think somewhere in Proverbs says you should make your war with wisdom. With wisdom, you make your war. And we need understanding. Even when you have the word, if you do not have understanding, it says the devil comes and... Yes, so... You need understanding, you need wisdom to guard what you have, to fight lawfully. It's not just to fight, but you have to fight lawfully. You know, so there are a lot of ground rules that are given to us. Because there is a lot of ground to cover and very little time. But I know that the Spirit of God has enough time. So he knows what is essential. You know. I want to open from John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, so even though this is an academic environment, so you have, you know, young active minds, so you can so this can address that, in the sense that in the beginning, I don't know how far your mind can go in the beginning, you know, so wherever your mind stops, it says in the beginning. So there's a reference. It's always good to have a reference. So in the beginning, you know, God and the Word. And when you talk of God, you speak about the will of God. The will. And the will of God means, it's in the kingdom, there is a will of the king. And there can only be one will. But it so happens that somewhere along the line, another will came in. I don't know if you're understanding. Somewhere along the line, another will came in. You know, so if you look at, look through the scriptures, you'll find that will. Somebody says, I will be like the Most High. You know, I will be like God. I will ascend up to the stars, up to the heights of Zion, and I will be like God. So you have another will, you know, contesting the will of God. That is the end of the whole matter. You know. So there are two wills, two overriding wills. One from the beginning, and then another one came in. You know, so from a very high or deep, whichever one you would like to take, there are two wills. And everybody in this room must fit into one of those wheels. You know, and everything you intend to do or you are doing must relate to those wheels. As a matter of fact, in the beginning there was no time. Time began when another wheel came in, and it will end when that wheel has been sorted out. And eternity will continue. Amen. Amen. So you have eternity, and then time began. Time will be an end, because it says Alpha. If you have Alpha, then you must have an Omega. That's a beginning and an end. An end of what? Amen. You know, so there is an agenda in the heavens. You know, so every prophetic burden, for it to be serious, must address that. You know, you come into the burden of heaven. Heaven has a will. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. What's the next thing? Thy will be done. Where? But there's another will. You know, there's another will that is contesting that one. You know, so there must be a true vision. You know why we're engaged in what we're engaged in. Nobody goes to war without a battle plan. You know, says you must count the cost. Counting the cost means you sit down to understand what is the goal, what do you want to achieve. You know, the Bible says, no man that warred, you know, entangles himself. You know, so all the grammar I'm speaking is just to say that there are two kingdoms. You know, light and darkness. You know, so. And of course, the darkness is not this one that is soon coming. This is just to every day remind us of the reality of another form of darkness, the real darkness. You know, so John, being, if you allow, they will say one of the deepest books in the Bible, very. You know, he was always leaning on the heart. So, you know, he gives us the heartbeat, you know, the heartbeat of God, that which is uppermost. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it tells you the Word of God is, you know, it's before time. It's even a person. You understand? Uh-huh. So when we speak about light, light is also a person. I don't know if you have that has come to your mind. Jesus said, "I am." Light is not a concept you talk about or you switch on and off. Light is a person and a lifestyle. So also is darkness. You know, somebody has personified darkness, and you also see darkness being. Something that is expressed, you know. So at the end of the day, in the whole world, you are looking at light and darkness in man, and God says, "My will be done." You know, in other words, let light come. So when you look down, look at verse 9. Okay, verse 4 says, "In him was life." And that light was what? The light of men. So what it means is that if you look verse 5, it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So the light is shines in darkness. And if we go into Genesis 1, it tells us that, as it were, darkness even predates the light. Is that correct? You know, there was darkness before the light came. You know, in that Genesis setting. And look at verse 9. "That was the true light, which what? Lighted every man that does what? Coming." So that means the man comes into the world with darkness. Is that correct? So darkness will, as it were, will appear to be the greater force in the world. Greater, you know, it's something that is in normal life. What you call normal life is darkness. Would that be a correct way of putting it? That's what you call normal. Let me live life. It's actually a touching darkness. I don't know if you understand what we are. Amen. You know, so we you know, Bible says God is light, and he dwells in a light which no man can come into. You know, yet that light is coming to us. You know, so where is that now? Verse 14. It says, "And the Word," or the light, would that be correct? The light was what? "Made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold the glory. You know, so it is the will of God that the light will come into will be made flesh, will be made real. You know, so light is coming into an environment of darkness. You know, so another scripture says that the whole world lieth in darkness. You know, so you can see the contrast, you know, the light and the darkness, you know, the whole world. So if you are in a campus like this, what do you think would be the major current of activity? What would be upper hand? What is it that's going to be popular? If you go out in the wider society, what is going to be, what are you going to be dealing with? You know, so what's the, when you talk of culture, social life, the nightlife, you know, interaction, relationships, what, so you see the whole thing, you know, is darkness, you know. So for, you know, how do I put it? It's you know, God is not interested in numbers. You know, there's a place for numbers.
In the Old Testament.
So, do you want numbers? Someone says it's already in the Old Testament. Or you want quality? Mm-hmm. Which one do you think God is more interested in? Mm-hmm. That one. You know, quality comes with a cost. Mm-hmm. So, are you ready to pay the price for light? You know, there are different types of light. There are some light you get into this place, it will be so bright. But this is still light, isn't it? So there are grades of light. Amen. So if man comes into the world with darkness, and by the way, there are also grades of darkness. So behold the darkness. And what? Gross darkness. Yeah, we even talk about midnight. That is the pitch. You know? I remember all these things are happening in man. We're not discussing, you know, the whole thing, the whole context and environment is, when you say man, it's very comfortable. Let me rather say me. You know, let me say me. There's a scripture that's wrongly translated in Thessalonians that says, only he who not letteth will let. Until, the Greek says, ek misos genete. Anybody who has a little bit of Greek who knows what it means. Ek, out, misos, mist, genesis, originate. So there is something that is going to come from within. You know. So people are looking out there. Yes, it's good. We make outreach, but the real outreach is, if you don't reach inward, you cannot reach out, your friend. So the best outreach is what? Inward. Then you can reach out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know? Jesus was walking towards a graveyard, and somebody was shouting and crying, "Oh, thou son of man, why torment?" He hasn't said anything. What do you think is going on? What do you think? Where is the light coming from? Okay, he went up to the mountain, and all of a sudden the place began to change. Light began to come forth. Where was the light coming from? Okay. And you know, there's this popular theology that we have. It's very comfortable. You know, say Jesus is God. And because he's God, that's why he overcame. You know, Pontius Pilate, you know, he was a lawyer. Well, I think he knew a lot of law. I don't know whether he was a lawyer, but he said, "I find no fault in this man." know, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Behold a man." He didn't say, "Behold the God." This is your Bible. Say, "Behold the God." Say, "Behold the man. And I find no fault at all in him." Amen. You know, so the scripture says, the same Jesus, the same Spirit, that was in Christ Jesus. If that same Spirit is in you, what is different is the Spirit. You know, that is the what makes the difference. Is what is in you. Hallelujah. You know, so in the world today, there are people who are struggling very hard for the darkness to increase in them. They want to be sons of darkness, sons or people of the world. They don't want your God. They don't want your Jesus. They want, you know. So I have got to have something to give, you know, and what I have got to give is not words. Spiritual warfare is not words. Like I just gave an example, Jesus came somewhere, he didn't speak. Words, the words that matter are not words from the mouth, are words from the heart. I don't know if you understand. The Bible says these people with their mouth, they say something, is it not? But God looks where? God looks for the speaking in the heart. And the devil, actually, in the realm of the spirit, the speaking that is more important is what? Is speaking in the heart. Amen. You know, so at what level are we now? Are we a people of the mouth? Or are we a people of the... So what speaking is in my heart? You know, the speaking of the heart is who I am. You know, who I am is different from who I say I am. You know, so we are speaking of being. What am I? What have I been today? What was I yesterday? Hallelujah. You know, so spiritual warfare takes you to a little higher dimension, and then begin to deal, because we're going to be dealing with spirits, spiritual institutions, strongholds. Do you know what is a stronghold? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 20 that when you make war against a stronghold, say you make an embankment around it, you build a fort around it. You understand? You is that when, for instance, when they came to Jerusalem, it was a siege of about 3 years. You understand? You also just come and over. You can't, because the place is a stronghold. You have walls. Even Jericho, isn't it? Jericho, they just came and ran through the place. You know, Jericho, they could say, you know, the walls are so wide that people, the woman built her house on the wall. Do you understand? It wasn't just this kind of wall. It was so wide that you could build a house on it. And chariots were running on the wall. You know. So when they came to the war, what did they do? They went around, they had to encircle it. And there was the battle plan. You know. So there are strongholds. And it so happens that this city is one of them. I don't know if you know. I didn't even know until there are the Manitoba means great spirit. How many people know that? So you're dealing with great spirit. It is a city of Freemasons. The highest Freemasons, they have chosen Winnipeg as their chosen choice city. Anyway, that's why God is raising up a church here anyway. Yeah, because there is something that needs to pull down. Are you up to it? Are we up to it? Amen. The fact that you are here means you are up to it. It's not by choice. It's not by chance. You know, like somebody said, the Lord, you know, the strength is not in ourselves, but it's. Amen. You know, so God is there, but you have to make yourself. You have to rise up to it. Hallelujah. You know, of course, in the Bible, it talks of Pergamos, a place where Satan sits. There was a church there. Amen. And it overcame. Hallelujah. So, so we're speaking about light shining in darkness. You know, and that darkness must begin from within me. Sorry, the light must begin to shine within me. Amen. I wouldn't have much time, but let me just draw some things. This is a reference point that will help us identify where we are. So this is the starting point. So what I've drawn is the tabernacle. It's the tabernacle of Moses, which you see in Exodus 25 up to 40, and of course in Hebrews 9. So this, you will get definite descriptions, you know. So this is Winnipeg. You might as well have been Egypt, isn't it? Or you might have been the wilderness, or the world. And this whole thing is darkness. So this is the kingdom of darkness. Well, for me, I find the tabernacle comprehensive. You know, so even in what we are, even what we are dealing with, what you are dealing with, this can be a guide. So now in the tabernacle, there was a fence. I guess what the fence was made of. It was white linen. So what would the white speak of? So it was like a fence. So when you are looking at the tabernacle from far, the testimony you get is what? Is the testimony of righteousness. And this testimony is what separates kingdom of light from the kingdom of darkness. Amen. You know, we don't have time to go into the technicalities, but there are pillars. I think there are 20 pillars this way and 10 pillars this way, you know. But the essential thing that I want to bring out is the righteousness, the white. Now, the very first place is this altar. And the altar was made of brass. In the scriptures, in the prophetic application of scriptures, brass speaks of judgment. So we can write it here. The brass speaks of judgment. So, what is it that is being judged? And for what purpose? So the judgment is the judgment of darkness as a whole. So if someone is coming into the kingdom of God, you know, he has to come to a place of judgment. And even Jesus himself was judged, is that right? He went somewhere, he went to the cross. So this is what you call you're born again. So this is the born again experience. You know, the born again experience is not a feeling, it's a brutal spiritual experience, you know, of judgment. There were four horns. There were four horns. And then this was the altar. And then the sacrifice will be put on the altar. And then there was a fire that was coming forth from within. Let us look at one or two scriptures as an example. Now, if you look at Genesis 35, it can be applied in different circumstances, depends on the audience. But for us, we are the people of God, isn't it? So we're going to apply it on a higher level. So Genesis 35 says, "And God said to Jacob," because God already had a covenant, a God of Isaac, God of Abraham, and of Jacob. So Jacob is already a covenant person with God. He already had a walk with God, just like you have a walk with God. So we're not speaking to the world. Amen. You understand the context. He says, "I arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there what? An altar unto God that appeared to thee when thou fleddest." Then verse 2 says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away what? The strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and do what? Go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God." Amen. You know, so in modern way, you would say there is a protocol for going up to God. You know, if you are a science student, you need the protocol to do the experiment, isn't it? You ask for the protocol, it tells you 1, 2, 3, the steps. You know, and with God, there's also a protocol, you know, for coming unto God, for, you know, for doing business with God. And that protocol is what? Is a place of judgment. You know, say if you judge yourself, then you will not be judged. And then you say judgment must begin where? From the house. From this house. Amen. You know, so as we begin to position and you know, begin to address the things that are on your heart, there's a place to start. And the place is that you have to build an altar in your heart. You have to build an altar. And that altar will mean to judge the gods, the idols. If you look at Judges, the book of Judges 1 and 2 and down, as soon as Joshua was out of the picture, the people began to submit to the idols of the, you know, so there are influences around. I don't know if you are with me. There are influences. And the influences are, you can see it from the kingdom of darkness around. And because there is a realm of heaven in you, I don't know if you understand. Heaven is in you. You know, so that means that means you know, the things you are dealing with, you know, because your soul that dwells in this body is a spiritual reality. You understand? And you know, so within your soul, the Bible says the fleshly lust that war against your soul. You know, so you've got to, I have got to deal with my heart. Because that heart is the place God wants to dwell, isn't it? It's the house, and the house must be clean. You know, so there must be experience of judgment. We must judge ourselves. And what do? We need to deal with the idols, idolatry. You know, different, that applies to different realms. You know, job, entertainment, you know, different things. You need to deal with it. You know, the things that that are taking the place of God. That is the one. That's the starting point. You know, and I think that in your prayer, that has been emphasized over and over. Bible, you know, scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you know, can't go far. So that's the first, that determination. So you see the priest, you know, when Aaron dresses up, there is something he puts on his head. He calls it a mitre. You know, it's a mindset. And he says, holiness to the Lord. You know, so holiness is taken from the word whole. It means separation. You know, so there has to be a mindset of holiness, that is, of separation from the world. You know, that means the model you are seeing, the, you know, your life goal, you know, the images, the people you are, you know, and the things I'm patterning myself must be things that are godly. Because the rule says you cannot, actually I didn't read the scripture, you cannot go into the house of a strong man and destroy his goods unless you do what? You buy. So let's read that scripture, it's very important. That's a strong, so you are going to Winnipeg and you want to buy some strong men. That's Matthew 12:29. Okay, it says, verse 28, Jesus said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. He that is not with me is against me, and he that, you know. So, it's a very important principle. You know, when the Indian people were looking for independence from Britain, you know what they did? First, they had to, everything that was British, I had to put it aside. Start wearing Indian clothes. We had to dress like Indian. At the first, you know, if you look at the American independence, even here in Canada, I can see it. I look around, I'm studying, looking at it. Like everything is so positive British. In England, the roads are small. Here, the roads are big. The language is different. Everything is opposite. You know, so that's just to mirror what the principle in the spirit. You know, so you cannot overcome a spirit you submit to. That's the first law of warfare. You cannot submit to overcome the spirit in Winnipeg when you are submitting and worshiping and giving it life. It's not going to happen. You have numbers. We know that about it. You know, you have numbers, but quality will not be there. It doesn't amount to anything. Amen. So, if you know, for quality and for real spiritual progress, you know, we must fight by the rules. And the rule says, let's look at the next example. A man like us. Let's go to Judges 6. You see a man like us. A man in our circumstance. His name is Gideon. He was bothered about the Midianites. Midianites were ruling over the people. Can you imagine Almighty Israel is now in bondage? When David came, every available kingdom was under his leg, was brought them under subjection. But here, tables are turned, and the people of God are now in bondage. And the reason, of course, was idolatry. Now, you see a young man begin to address the issue. You know, there are some people who are not interested in the issue. That is, if you just want to come to school, get your degree, and out. God can bless you, give you a wife, give you a car, good car. You want good car? Fine. Not an issue with God. He'll give you a good car. You want a good family? Fine, you have it. Those are not the issues. And I don't think those are the issues you are trying to address. You know, so you want to address the kingdom to pull down strongholds, bring them down. Then you must come to the table. So he says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that is in thy father's house. I cut it down, cut the grove down. Amen. So here Joshua was going to go out to battle. he said, no problem with that. Let's start the battle in the right place. Where did you start the battle? Your father's house. Where is your father's house? This is the father's house. Your soul is the father's house. Say, my father's house. There are many dwelling places, many mansions. You can't have a physical mansion in the house. It's not possible. So we're speaking about something spiritual. So it's speaking of God's house. There are dwelling places. Amen. So God says, go and pull down the idol in your father's house. You know, so there are idols in the mind. The images. The other day we were reading it, it says the man goes, gets a wood and starts carving it. What is he carving? He's expressing what is within. Hallelujah. You know, so I believe God wants to take us a little bit higher. You know, so we have to come to the table. If you look at the, if we come again to this tabernacle, see there are four corners here. You know, so at the very basic level, you can say that this will be four dimensions of the soul. So this will be mind. This will be the emotion. This will be the desire. And this will be the will. Now this is a very basic level. Alright. Of course, we know naturally that, you know, it spoke of there are four corners of the earth. And we know the natural application of the tabernacle, and it's an altar. But the truth is that if you move a little bit, you know, deeper in the scripture, you come into the book of Revelations, and it speaks about the four living creatures, you know, which Ezekiel speaks of, you know, speaking about the soul of man as a perfect altar, that perfect place. Amen. You know, so you know, so we are being told that the judgment must begin within. In other words, Paul said, I die daily. Is it in your Bible? Where was he dying? he was going to Calvary every day. He would enter his car, you know, he'd jump on the horse and drive to Calvary. I said, yeah. Where was he dying? Amen. So there is a place, there is a walk with God where God begins to deal with you. Amen. So every day he takes you along that road. And Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, what will he do? He'll take off his cross. And do what? I follow. You don't wear the cross. You can wear it to make it a very nice jewel. But after you finish doing that, you soon realize that you have to die on it. Amen. And you know, the cross has no pity. When you go there, Paul say, I preach the cross. Amen. I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says, it's the power of God. You want the power of God? That's the road to go. Amen. So if you want to have power within you or in the fellowship, you go the way of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Which is unpopular. Modern day preaching doesn't, if I runs away from it. Once I went to make it, you know, the days we were doing the TV broadcast, I was in the studio and another preacher came. And he said, look, I don't want to hear anything about sin. We were discussing jingles. He was making a jingle for our program. And then he came to make his own jingle. Say, look, I don't want to hear sin, salvation, anything. Just progress. Progress. You know, you don't have children, you get children. You don't have marriage, prosperity. I don't want to hear sin. I'm not telling you what somebody I said. This is, you know, this was many years ago. Even not even now. It was almost like a decade ago. So you can imagine what it is now. You don't even hear. You know. So scripture says that there's some people that the preaching of the cross is to them foolishness. Yeah? So people whose God is their belly. You know, who love, you know. So it's like, what gospel are you carrying? And the gospel is not what you say with your mouth, it's the life. That's what the heaven recognizes. Amen. So they say, Paul, I know. How did they know Paul? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. So the devil knows every one of us. You know, he knows. He said, weigh on the balance, and they know how far you can go. So here, you told the man, go and pull down the idols in the father's house. You know, when we talk of father's house, the idols in the father's house, they have different, that you can look at it differently. But one easy way is to look at, go to Abraham, because Abraham was also there. Is it not? Right at the beginning, Genesis 12, before God began to discuss any business. And can I tell you, in fact, Pietro used to tell us in those days, and you can also see the principle with Jesus, says, you must first be witnesses. We are in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. So you need to deal with the Jerusalem spirit. You understand? So if you are here now, your Jerusalem will probably be dealing with your immediate environment. But you may also find maybe dealing with some familial spirits, things that are coming from families that you may need to deal with. Amen.
Amen.
Then it says, come out from your family. God told Abraham, first Genesis 12, without discussing anything, he laid it down. You must come out from your family. You must come out from your tribe. You must come out from country, your nation. So there are three levels of dealing, you know. So as you begin to engage with God on a serious basis, you will find that He will begin to lead you. By the way, you also see Jesus, the first time He began to engage, what did He do? He went to the wilderness to do what? To be tempted, to get into spiritual conflict. He didn't just run around and start preaching. He had to go and address, you know, the gatekeeper. There are gatekeepers. I don't know, am I talking sense? There are gatekeepers, you know, so you have to address them. Someone shared a dream, said there were, it was the, we told, what was the dream again? Thanksgiving or something. Uh-huh. You know, so he said there are, you know, so there are things, there are coverings in the spirit that God can open to you and must open to you as we pay the price. The other one quickly I need to touch. Again, you see the same context. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 5. We'll just touch on it today and start, then tomorrow I think we'll end the same. So 1 Samuel chapter 5, we'll see the same story, same principles. So this is the story again of the Ark and Dagon. Amen. You know. So the Philistines, they took the Ark and they brought it to the house of Dagon. So this is a contest between Dagon and the Ark. And you know, the Ark speaks of the presence of the Lord. Is that correct? You know. So as you say, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was what? Fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early again on the following morning, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark. And the head of Dagon and both the arms of his hand were cut off from the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Amen. You know, so the victory is not a problem. God's problem is not that, it's not the devil. It's not that the devil is so powerful or whatever it is. That's not God's problem. God's problem is his people. What was the ark doing in the first place in the house of Dagon? How did that happen? It was because of Ichabod, is it not? Ichabod led to that. They came and captured and carried the ark into the house of Dagon. But God would always be true to himself. So even in that setting, God had to prove and bring a judgment. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so there is power in God to do what he will do, what he has said he will do. Amen. And the reason for which he has raised us up, there is power in God to deal with that. Amen. You know, but the challenge is, for you and I, are we going to pay the price? Are we going to come up to the plate? Are we going to do what is necessary? The necessary thing is to come to that place, you know, of death to self. Death to self. Self is the thing that God wants to deal with, really. The field God wants to win is the field of my soul. The biggest missionary field is my soul. Amen. But that is so minor, isn't it? I'd rather win the whole world, but God wants to win my soul. Amen. So, the man said, the word is to save me and save those who hear me. Amen. So it says that this word will bring salvation to you and then to as many as, you know, will receive the ministry that is going to come forth. You know, so there is a pattern in which the whole thing has to be. And that pattern is that I have to make a covenant with God. You know, I have to make a covenant. And this covenant is that in this altar, in this temple, you know, that Baal, you know what is Baal? Baal is materialism. I hope you know. They worship Baal. When they worship, the Canaanites who worship Baal is by sexuality, entertainment, enjoyment, carefree living. You know, that is the modern day philosophy. You just do it. Anything you like, you just do. Amen. You know, so God, that is Antichrist. You know, because he said, my body is the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So there are ways in which you deal with your body. Not to talk of your soul. Amen. You know, so there are things that God requires. So he puts restriction, which is contrary to the modern day philosophy, no restriction. Anything you like, you do. You know. But as we begin to come into a relationship with God, we find that God puts now that restriction is a restriction of love. You know? He told Adam, you can eat every, but in the day you do so and so, you will die. It was a restriction of love. Because Adam didn't know there was the context of darkness, that the devil was around, and that the devil had a plan. You know. So we might find that in our own setting that we may not be properly fully aware of the great contest, the contest of light and darkness within us and around. You know, so for you it may just be living life, enjoying, reading to get a degree, to do this and that. For you, that's your greatest concern. I want to pass, I want to make A, I want to do this. I probably need to do very well so I can get some scholarship so that I can have less financial pressure. Those are immediate, yeah, and it's good. But it's always good to, when you come to a setting like this, to go beyond the natural and then begin to deep, you know. And this is to give us notice that it's not about you or about me, it's about him. So when you say it's you, Jesus, I need, I hope you know what you're saying. It's not just a feeling, you feel good about Jesus. You are talking about the will of God. Amen. And the will of God is that light will shine in darkness and overcome the darkness. But let's look at something. I think I'll end with that one. John chapter 3. Let's see a contrast. The problem I find within myself. And maybe you might also, that might resonate with you, or you might. We'll start from 16, John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his word into the world to condemn the world, but that the world to look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Verse 19 is the key. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And can we read it together? And man loved darkness rather than light. Is it possible for man to love darkness more than light? Okay, can you do an experiment? Remove man and put your name inside. Do I love darkness more than light? To answer that question, you need to take a day fast, and maybe a week fast. I just ask God the question, do I love darkness? And let God answer. Let him examine and see. Amen. Amen. You know? So here is God wanting to overcome darkness. And here is my soul aligning with darkness. Hey, How is that? Amen. You know, so it is of more importance to God to go for the quality. You understand too? See, God looks on the inward. What is he looking for? He says, look, I'm interested. I want to get the darkness out of you. Because when the darkness gets out of me, I become a prototype. Is it not? So that as I minister to others, my object will be want to get the darkness out. Hallelujah. So, first of all, I'm a witness in my Jerusalem. And then in my Judea, in my surroundings. Hallelujah. So the light will shine out of, says, out of Zion shall the law go forth. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Says, also on the top of the mountain, Zion will be established. So Zion is a high place. The God's standards are quite high. It's an encouragement, you know, not to set the limits very, very low, but to push it. Because the higher you push it, then the more you can reach out, you know, to climb the mountains of Zion, to climb higher, to climb higher. Amen. You know, Isaiah says, I dwell in a high and lofty place. Do you know the scripture? With him that is of a contrite and a broken spirit. Amen. So who will dwell in the hill of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit for me. Amen. See, the sacrifices of God are what? A meek and a broken and a contrite heart. Hallelujah. So, you know, so the you know, as we begin to touch those things that matter to God, he said, come, let me show you the ways of the kingdom. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to him. But he says there is a narrow way. And what did he say? Few that be that find it. You have to look for it though, that find it. So when you become, you enlist, you know, to be one of those people that walk that way, you know, you'll find life. You see that you become important with God in the kingdom of God. You matter. Amen. I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added. You know. So you're not seeking all other things, you are seeking the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Say, the kingdom is the rule of the king within. Amen. When that is my preoccupation, then God will take care of the other things. So Solomon, they ask him, say, look, what do you want? What did Solomon do? Solomon went for the kingdom. He says, God, give me wisdom so that I will know how to, you know, to walk in the kingdom. God said, yes, you didn't ask for this. You didn't ask for this. I will give it to you much more. So it's not those things that are around, but it's the kingdom. And to do that, you need your appetite, your emotions, your desire, your will, your mind, you know. Romans 5 says, you know, says the mind, the mind, spiritual things. We talk about the carnal and then the spiritual. Amen. And then Paul says, set your affections on the things above, you know. So, I think so much for now. Tomorrow we will look at it, and then I'm sure we'll have more time, and then we will try and see how we can push it all through the tabernacle. So we can see that the tabernacle gives us a guide, you know, because the outer court is a reception. It's a reception. Nobody enters a house to stay in the reception. You want to end up in the bedroom, isn't it? So the outer court is just a reception, you know. The liver. Okay, let me just write that out and then I'll close. So this is the first. The second one is the liver. Okay, and then the third one is the lampstand. And then the fourth one is the table, isn't it? But the table is a special table. It has 12 loaves. And then this is the place where it all matters. The offering of the soul. So this is the golden, another altar, but this is of gold now. So it's a golden altar. So this is brass, this is gold. And then the bedchamber, where the glory is. And then this is the veil. You know, so it's not abstract, it's a real life experience that the soul must go through. You know. And in that act there is something that is important. Aaron's rod that budded. That's what you want to have when you go into Winnipeg. You know. And how did they get that rod? The rod had to stay in the midst of contention through the night. Amen. So when you're going through spiritual contention, you need to have life. You need to have that capacity for life to overcome the darkness. You know. So I believe that those are the equipment that you know, that the Lord wants to draw our attention to, you know, for us to set our sight on, you know, the energy we need within, you know, to affect our environment. Amen. So it's to benefit us first and then benefit those who are hearing us, you know. So we thank God for this time. We know that when God starts something, he has the capacity to finish it, you know. The grace that has brought us so far is far more abundant to take us all the way. Amen. Amen. So by the time you are getting out of your experience here, this will be like a training school, isn't it?
Amen.
It will be like a training school, because when you as you get trained, you might find yourself in different parts of this city or this country or even outside, and you are going to go with the victory that you have obtained, isn't it? Moses got his rod in the wilderness. That's where he got the rod. So it was that rod he used to divide the sea, isn't it? You understand? So everything that is going to happen now will be a rod down the road, you know, in your little, you know, experience and walk with God, you know. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the entrance of your word, the sharing of your word, the ministry of your word. We thank you for the mind of Christ. We thank you for the spirit of Christ. We thank you for that which is in your heart. We receive grace, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. We pray you will break it down to us in a way we can digest, in a way we can walk in. As you say, our word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So let your light shine. Let it judge every darkness. Lord, you see the attachments of our soul to darkness, to our environment, to our Father's house. You see the altars. You see the demands upon us. You see that which speaks in our heavens. And we ask, O God, that the blood of Jesus will minister, like, will speak better things. Let it bring life. Let it bring vitality. Let it bring freedom. Oh Lord, let it bring a judgment of this places of worship with him.
Amen.
Break it down, O God, for we will serve no foreign God, nor any other treasure. You will be our Lord and our guide. Say, for this very God will be our guide even unto death. Lord, we ask, O God, that you might help us to draw close to thee. He said, draw close to you and you will draw close to us. He said, nobody can come to you except you draw him. We ask you to draw our hearts, O God. Draw it after you. Grant us strength to run after you. At the highway to your city, we run through our hearts. That for us, we would rather be a doorkeeper in your house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to climb these hills of Zion. Grant us a focus and a determination. Lord, let every other light fade in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that light shine in our hearts. Let it cause every other dazzle to fade. The sound of the world, the beauties that we see around, let it shine, O God. Let this light captivate us, that we will be enraptured in it. We just bless your name, we glorify your name. We ask that you will seal that which you have done, even during this time of waiting upon you. Let it be sealed. Lord, let there be strength for our feet to be shod properly, to walk in these things. Let there be strength given. Let there be much grace released. We ask, Lord, that you open the eyes of understanding to show us the treasures of darkness that will not be taken unawares. That we will see, we will hear that which is needful. That we will not fight as one that beat the air, but Lord, that we will by wisdom make our war. We just glorify your name and bless you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.